more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Milwaukee's Renaissance Theater Works' current season is called She Blinded Me with Science. From a play about the horticulture wars to the story of Rosalind Franklin, the key scientist left out of the Nobel Prize for the discovery of the DNA double helix, this season has been an exploration of women in science.
And the last play of the season is no exception. It's one that first showed up in 2017 as a Brink New Play finalist, and it's written by our next guest, Raina Hardy. Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven tells the story of a 13-year-old science prodigy in Kansas who's dealing with an alien-obsessed father, her own adolescent, and a new influence in her life named Althea. It's a young adult science fiction play that talks to adults, too. Raina Hardy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful play. I read it last night in preparation for the interview. Annie Jump and...
The Library of Heaven.
Which is such a great title.
Oh, thank you.
It's such a great title. And I know this has been in the works for a while, and you've been working with Renaissance Theater Works for a while. Talk about how you made the connection with them and then how this play came to be.
So I've been working with Renaissance since 2017 on this play, and it was a cold submission. You know, I'm a playwright, so I look for people who are saying, hey, send in plays to our festival. And this one was for women Midwestern playwrights, which I am. I'm a Midwesterner. I am from Chicago. I strongly identify as being Midwestern. And I sent it in, and they liked it. And I did the Brink Festival in 2017. Which was super helpful. And then I think the first draft of this play was very strong. It did have work that needed to be done. And I think it was one of the most important lingering issues with the script got resolved during the Brink Festival.
The idea of workshopping.
Yeah.
You know, and having the opportunity to workshop new work is something, I think a lot of theaters are starting to pay attention to that because they realize they can't keep doing the same, 100 plays that are out there, that we need new voices and we need new things for audiences. That's part of the process.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just trying not to get too abstract about it because it's, it's something, I think, what development processes have I gone through for this play? A few, I would say.
Do you think this script is sort of finalized at this point? Or are you
still
open?
Not at all.
Okay.
No. The changes that I'm making at this point are pretty small, but I'm in rehearsal every day, and every day I'm making small changes, usually cuts. Small cuts and small rewordings. It's not a long script. A lot of times I pretty heavily overwrite. Like, my plays are way too long, and so when I start workshopping them, I'll go through and, like, when I'm done, like, it'll be 20 pages, 30 pages shorter, sometimes even more than that. In this case, it was never very long.
And we should probably, this is a perfect time to talk about what the play is about without giving away any specific things that people should actually be exposed to when they actually see the play. So Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven, who is Annie Jump?
Annie Jump is a 13-year-old girl who is a science genius, and she lives in a very small town called Strawberry, Kansas. And her dad is obsessed with aliens. So he's actually based on a real person that I heard about on the radio, and he has this website where he invites any aliens who are out there to send him a message through his website.
And as you can imagine, it probably gets abused a little bit.
Yeah. So he is, in the world of this play, he is kind of the town laughingstock. And Annie, in addition to being a extraordinarily nerdy child, because she is an actual science genius, has to deal with her dad being kind of an object of mockery. So that's the setup. That's the beginning. And then... something really extraordinary happens.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's a perfect place to leave it. One of the things I love about the play is that it's unapologetically pro-science, and it's unapologetically pro-women in science. It's just part of the play. And I like that. I like when it's just, this is how it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this play came out of me having done, a lot of research for some other plays I'd been commissioned to write, and just getting a chance to talk to people who worked in science and kind of getting a chance to, like, fall in love with them and be interested in them and find points of commonality. Because one of the things that you find out about scientists when you work with them is there's a reason why there's this kind of feeling like scientists and artists are aligned. It's because there's not an impracticality in terms of what they're doing, but there's often, like, when you're trying to do research science, it's you could be doing something else for a lot more money, where it's a lot easier to succeed because it's very hard to succeed in science. And so when you go into the research sciences, you tend to be doing it for the passion of it because you could be off doing something else.
How did you get interested in writing plays? I mean, because talk about something that, you know, requires passion and you often don't get a lot of money for.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just a real artsy, booksy kid and just kind of never stopped. I wrote a lot and did theater. And when I was, in college, I wrote my first full-length play and then kind of just didn't stop. I think it, like, won a prize and then it got produced and I was like, oh, I should keep doing it because I've been rewarded for it. But also, I fell in love more and more with theater and what it can do. One of the things that I did right out of college was I was living in Chicago, where I'm from, and I decided I had this year, and I was like, I'm going to see a play in every venue in Chicago. So that year I saw, like, about, 60 plays, and I learned so much, I think, just from seeing such a wide variety, especially of really low-budget theater where people are kind of getting together and making something, figuring stuff out. And to me, I think that's really valuable because you get this, like, grit behind your ability to tell stories where you're, like, not insisting on having money and you're not insisting on, I don't need X, X, and X. And I'm like, no, I can work with what I have, which means that, no matter what circumstances you're in, you have a kind of confidence in your ability to get people together and make a thing happen, even if very few people see it or even if it fails completely, you learn how to use what's around you. That means you can't be silenced. And I think that means theater is something everyone should learn how to do. Well, not everyone, but, I think it's a really, really good skill.
Is it fun to see? I mean, you've seen it already performed other places. Is it fun seeing it here coming together?
Yeah. No, it's extremely fun. So this is actually a world premiere. The only other development processes I've gone through were leading towards staged readings. And the very first one at my grad school, UT, where I was a Michener Fellow, was a full production, but it was an earlier version of the script. So I have had a chance to see it in full production and, make adjustments, but it's changed since then. So, yeah, it's super exciting. It's super exciting. I usually write plays that I want to see. Even though often, like, there's sections in that I don't think are good enough, so I'll sit there and be like, oh, so bad, but I actually really like this play. and watching it makes me happy. Like, last night they were rehearsing the very last scene, and I was like, this last scene makes me so happy.
And this is the one that you had to redo because...
I only redid the very last moments.
The very last moments.
It required less rewriting than a lot of my plays, which often require super extensive rewriting processes, but I really feel like I want to, like, hone every second of this play because I want it to be broader in terms of rage audience than most of my plays are. And this is a little tricky because there isn't really a market in theater for this kind of, like, there is in movies, right? Pixar movies, which you can take your kid to, and they're also really sophisticated. Adults love them. And also the sort of, young adult novels that are approachable for young adults but also really widely read by grown-ups. There's not very much of that idea in theater, and that's really what I'm aiming at, which I think is part of what makes it a little tricky because it's not necessarily a children's theater play. And all of the – there's – it's in the middle of a four theater Rolling World premiere. So there's like four theaters that have decided to do it, and none of them are primarily aimed at younger people. You know, just most plays don't fall in that in between place. And I want it to succeed because I do think that, like, you know, younger people should see it in addition to adults, which means that I want every moment to be, you know, super honed, super pacey, and just keeping everybody's attention the entire time, which means that I'm like looking at every moment with a really, really critical eye.
Well, Raina, it has been such a pleasure to meet you. Best of luck with your career. When you write some more and they're produced here, come back.
Oh, I hope so. Yes.
All right.
My DMs are open.
All right.
I've got lots of plays.
Excellent. It was great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Renaissance Theatre Works production of Raina Hardy's play Annie Jump in the Library of Heaven opens this Friday at the Studio Theatre in the Third Ward's Broadway Theatre Center.
Hardy was a 2017 Brink Award winner, and this production is part of a national new play Rolling World premiere. It's also the first fully produced play from the Brink series.